We'll share something the Lord gave us for you today. As I was thinking about this, I preached Wednesday and last Sunday. Had some days off in between. In the midweek, I do a lot of seminars. I've already had two of them or three of them this month or this year. In the midweeks, a lot of churches in the place of the revivals folks used to have. Several churches in the tri-state that I go to every year, every other year, and share a series. And love to teach, but I'm going to preach a few minutes to you here today. I asked Pastor Oscar what time you close, and he said when we're done. So we have a night off tonight, so I'm in no hurry either. But that don't mean, you know, there's sometimes on Sunday I have to drive 4 hours to get to the next meeting. And that's not always. By the way, your band, I always compliment it, but what a nice band you have. Give them guys a hand clap. Good job, man. My dad was an old country boy from Eastern Kentucky, and he used to call me, he said, my son's a musicianer. A musicianer. Well, y'all got some good musicianers here, amen. And I didn't forget you, but that horn player over there, I got your number last time. I just ain't had occasion, but one of these days I might call you in for a session. We have a studio, so sometimes it calls for that. You can get it on a keyboard, but nothing like a real horn player, amen, that knows what he's doing, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles today, turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to share a few verses with you and kind of let the Word of God say it. The first gift God gave man, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl there and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. I knew a preacher, used to hear a preacher preach down in Arkansas. He said he used to use this verse when he went fishing. He would speak to them fish in Jesus' name. Get over here, I'm going to catch you. You know, took authority over the fish of the sea, you know. Well, the point, I'm not really talking about fishing right now, but I'm talking about dominion. The first gift God gave to man was dominion, amen. And many times I'm reminded of Gideon. You don't have to turn there, but back here, like my grandma used to say back here in the old Bible, the story of Gideon, the Midianites had taken him captive, and he was working on a grindstone, and he was just totally defeated, and an angel came and spoke to him and said, hail thou mighty man of valor. And you know, many times when God talks to us, you know, when God talks to you, now he can talk to you about your individual life and maybe areas that he's working on and he's dealing with, because he ain't just your savior, he's your sanctifier, amen. So the Lord has the right to get in your space and talk to you about things. But when he addresses you, he'll call you what his word called you. And the word called you a royal priesthood. Come on. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. That's a special people. Amen. We aren't a bunch of nobody just struggling through the heat and the cold, and we can't wait to die because it'll be better then. No, God did not create. That's why there's this desire to rule. But the problem is when sin gets in the way and unregenerate men and women try to take over power, then they use it the wrong way. But it's totally natural for you to want to be in control and want to have some authority in your life. And I'm glad to report to you today that Jesus has provided that. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. You aren't a doormat. Elbow somebody close to you and say, you aren't a doormat. Amen. Now turn over to Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians 1. Some of you had to have a long elbow, didn't you? Okay. Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Now Paul wrote these wonderful letters. You know, I heard once some of these Christians, you know, that kind of don't care much for the New Testament, which is weird to me. They're still wanting to be Jewish or something. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know why a Gentile would want to be Jewish anyway. Nothing wrong with being Jewish if you're Jewish, but my Lord, read the book of Acts. You know, James was wringing his hands over this because Paul was out preaching to heathens and Simon Peter went to doing it. And God started giving heathens the Holy Ghost. And they had a little preacher meeting, a conference, and discussed it. Well, we got to come up with something, boys. I got four little rules. Don't drink stuff that's been offered to idols and quit drinking blood. Quit shacking up. That'd be, that's it. If you do this, everything's good. He pretty much, just a short list. Come on. But to go back under the law after what Jesus has done, come on, amen. And almost belittle those nice little letters about behavior. I beg your pardon. The letters of Paul are not just about behavior and how to live a nice little Christian life. Paul had a revelation in the Arabian desert of what Jesus did at Calvary for you and me. Come on, amen. And it's a deep subject, boys and girls. God came, hallelujah, and he came to destroy the works of the devil and handed you the authority. Jesus, just before he went back to heaven, he said, all power, all dunamis, has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world. See, he hands it right over. In other words, because I have it, you have it. Who all's glad you're in cahoots? In this great letter, Paul said in verse 1:19, Ephesians, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To usward who believe. I love that word, usward. It's nice to know there's some things that are usward. They aren't going away from us. They're coming toward us. They're usward. Only the Bible would say usward. Isn't that funny? I think it's great. According to the working of his mighty power, listen, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. In other words, there's a work that a wrought is an old English word. I'm quoting King James today. But wrought is an old English word to work. Which he worked in Christ. There was something worked. There was something accomplished. Something happened in Christ when he sent Jesus and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. Not just the crucifixion and resurrection. Of course, thank God for the crucifixion. Thank God for the resurrection. But thank God for the glorification at the right hand of the Father. Amen? And he says there in verse 21, far above all, he didn't say just a little bit above, but far above all. Now, you know, if I stepped up on a concrete block right here, I would be a little bit more above this pulpit. But if I was up on top of the church, I'd be far above it. So now he didn't just say just a little bit above, just a little dabble, do you? But he said far above, amen? All principality, listen to this list, and power, and might, and dominion. How about that word, dominion? And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In other words, in case we left anything out, he said every name that's named. Every name that's anything you can say, Jesus is far above it. But now you're about to get in on the goodies. Look at verse 22. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, woohoo, to the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, you know, everything that has a name is under the feet of Jesus. Well, if it's under Jesus' feet, it has to be under your feet because you're not under his feet. Last time I checked, we're called the body of Christ. He built upside down. He ain't going around walking on his hands. Come on, am I preaching good? Everything that has a name is under his feet. If it's under his feet, it's under your feet. I'm not being weird about this or legalistic about it, but if you ever had to resist the devil, and the scripture says to do that sometimes, you know, he just left Jesus for a season and popped his old ugly head back up again. But, you know, if you ever have to, always look down when you talk to him. Yeah, but I thought he was the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. I'd be looking up. No, your physical body might be sitting here on Tylersville Road this morning, but in the spirit, God the Father, can somebody get halfway happy on Sunday afternoon? I was about to say Sunday morning, but it's 12:30. It's afternoon. When you address him, always look down because you're seated with him. Come on. In heavenly places. And to reiterate it, Paul went ahead and go over to verse 4 of chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, every time, if you're an underliner, underline these words together. You come across this word together. about three times here. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Said by grace, you say, hath raised us up, what? Together. And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. We've been raised up. We've been quickened. We've been raised up. We've been made to sit with him in heavenly. But you're in a position. It's time for God's army to wake up. I just, you know, the Japanese Empire, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, it was almost like, oops. And they said, we have awakened a giant. And they did. And my daddy was over there in the Coral Sea battles for 3.5 years without coming home. And he came home. Praise God. I'm here because of that. And they were putting a quietus. I don't know what quietus is, but I know they put the quietus on them in Europe too, with the Nazis, and then they put the quietus on the Japanese Empire. And I know it's politically incorrect to talk about stuff, but this is history, folks. Let's not rewrite it. Come on. We won. Who all's glad we won? You're sitting here because you won. You ain't speaking Japanese because we won. But they awoke a giant. And you know, many times we just lay around, let the devil pick on us all week. Fiery darts, darts, darts. Ephesians 6 talks about darts. That runs in your family. They're laying off over there. You're going to be the first one to lose your job. Darts all day. Oh. No wonder you're coming to church like this. You've been beat up all week. Don't even give him that much time. Come on. Don't even let him talk to you one time. Just knock it out. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians that they cast down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Imaginations, strongholds. God showed me one day over in 2 Corinthians, there's a threefold thing that happens to people. It starts with a thought, then it becomes an imagination, and then it becomes a stronghold. And some people are in strongholdville. They've listened to the devil so long, the devil's got a stronghold on their mind. The battle of the mind. He said, cast that junk down. Come on. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I, you know, in that obedience of Christ, it isn't just my ability to be good little Christian. The obedience of Christ is the finished work of Calvary. Come on, amen. I'm going to filter everything in my life through Calvary. And who all knows if I do that, it's nothing but victory. Come on, Wings, shout amen. Amen. Wow, if I wasn't so big, I'd do a cartwheel. Amen. It's good preaching. Amen. Now go back to 2 Samuel. We'll start to close. This is just a sermonette. I usually hand out a syllabus and preach an hour on those Wednesday nights, but we won't do that to you today. Some of you your stomach is already saying, feed me, feed me. I'm thanking God that you're the Church of Donuts. I don't know where those came from, but that was the best glazed donut. You didn't see me do it. I'm sorry. I'm making a confession in front of the people, so you'll have to behave. But I saw this moist, glazed, doughy donut, and I enjoyed every minute of it, if it even lasted that long. Glory to God. I think it took about a minute to eat it. Come on. That was my dessert from Waffle House. Hallelujah. I brought in my coffee from Waffle House. I told my brother back here, I said, this is redneck Starbucks. Come on, amen. You might be a redneck if you drink Waffle House coffee. It's good coffee, though, anyway. Chapter 23, okay, just cutting up, just keeping you awake, okay. You don't want you to go to sleep on me now. Look here, I'm in 1 Samuel. Let's go to 2 now. I told you 2 went to 1 myself. Okay, look here at chapter 23. I want to talk just a few minutes about the mighty men of David. Now, these guys were attitudinal. I don't know if you ever read these stories. I am a antiquity freak. I just took a correspondence class from a Logos Christian College and got a degree in church history. I just love, master's degree in church. I could sit down and talk to you all day about the church and where it came from and still learn. I still got books I'm reading at home. I just devour. I love movies like Gladiator and Troy. Come on, baby. Alexander, you know, and these great, you know, Spartans. come on now. Some of you saw that one too. You know what I mean? I mean, these are, that guy jumping in the air and killing all them guys, you know, going about 8 feet in the air, you know, stuff. I just love that stuff. Anyway, special prayer will be offered for anyone without a sense of humor. Okay. This is funny. This is a funny chapter. It ain't funny. It's just very informative. Look at verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Chapter 23 and verse 8 of 2 Samuel. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. What if your name was Adino? That's a pretty cool name, man. Adino. Look what Adino did. Look here at verse 8. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Folks, you can't do that without the anointing. I don't care. The Roman Empire couldn't have stood before these guys. I'm telling you the truth. Because it wasn't just human ability. It's almost so much a human being can do. But these guys, you know, God would anoint them to go fight. Think 800 men? Really right now? What if this church was surrounded just wall to wall, 800 men with big spears and shields? One guy killed him with one spear. You believe that? Well, if we don't believe it, let's just go play golf right now. It's too cold to play golf, but for some of you, it's not too cold to play golf, but let's just forget this Bible. Of course it's true. Who all believes this is true? This is God's word. I'm trying to lift you up. We need somebody in here. Some of you need to wipe out 800 devils this week. Come on. Just go knock him in the head. Look at verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, or Doo-Doo. I don't know if he was Dodo or Doo-Doo. We'll find out when we get to heaven. I'm sure he made it, okay. The Ahohite. Dodo. What if your name was Doo-Doo? You got the first day of school, what's your name, little boy? Doo-Doo. Oh, no, don't do that. Anyway, funny. That is funny. You're not going to forget this message, are you, okay? One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. Now, he probably was low on potassium. hadn't been eating enough bananas and drinking Gatorade. Come on, am I preaching good? You know, I mean, really, he's out there fiighting all day, and his hand got sustained. His hand clave unto the sword. He couldn't let go of the sword. He'd been fighting so long. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Wow. It's like watching an ancient movie. Oh, I saw that other one, too, back in the fall. A remake of Ben-Hur. Oh, that was good too. Okay. And after him was Shammah. I love this story. I love this. The son of Agi the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where a piece of ground full of lentils or sweet peas. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I got to credit a fella. You know, I don't always agree with everything but he says, but he's done a good job for Jesus. I heard Jimmy Swaggart preach a sermon years ago. He had a sermon called "I've Left This Pea Patch My Last Time." And I kind of like that. I've left this pea patch. See what would happen? Them stinking Philistines. Can't you see them up on the ridge with their binoculars? They're out there every day just watching the lentils grow. And about harvest time, they'd say, okay, boys, it's time to go get the Israelites' stuff. They did the work. We're going to enjoy the harvest. Does that sound like the devil? Come on, saints. Does that sound like the enemy? You work for something. You put your heart in something. Right at the last minute, he comes trying to wipe it out and take it away from you. God, give us a Shammah. Look at somebody close to you and say, you be Shammah. Come on, say, you be Shammah. Shammah stood up in that pea patch and defended it. He said, you all can run like a bunch of turkeys if you want to, but I'm tired of this. I am tired of this. We labored on this, and that devil ain't taking this from us. And he goes ahead, verse 13, and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David the harvest time, the cave of Adullam. Look at verse 14. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Ooh. And David longed. Now listen, this is Brother Oscar's going to love this. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, he wasn't asking them guys to go down there. He was just talking out loud. He said, oh, my. It's kind of like when you've been out in the West for 2 or 3 weeks like I was this summer. Oh, that I had some fresh tartar sauce, Lord. You know, well, that don't mean I want somebody to get on an airplane and come back, get me a jar, and fly back. You know, I'm just making a statement. Wouldn't that tartar sauce be really good right now? Well, all he was saying was, wow. Oh, for a drink of that well of Bethlehem. 16, and the three mighty men break into the host of Philistines, drew water out of the well that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Look at the character of this man. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord. For he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should drink the blood. This is the blood of the men that went into jeopardy of their lives. Therefore, he would not drink it. But my point is this, just a whim from the leader got people to act. God give us a church full at Wings. Just a direction, a whim of Brother Boland, the leaders. God wants us to do this. Okay, Pastor, I'm ready. Let's go. You know, I mean, God, who all knows everybody needs to be that kind of a servant? Amen. Just a whim from Jesus. Just a little hint, Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Jump on it like a chicken on a bug. Come on, amen. Amen. Abishai, 18. I'm almost done. I really am. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. He killed 300 guys by himself with a spear. And then go down. Here's my last story. Look at verses 20 and 21. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He just didn't like their looks or something. I had a hairy dude over. I'm going to go kill him. He went down also. This is funny. This is hilarious. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. A lion, a pit, and a snowy day. Now, first of all, if I was going to kill a lion, I would do it in July in a big open field in an armored Hummer like I have out here with a high-powered 30-06 with a scope. Who all those? And I would catch him about 300 yards away and blow his brains out. You know, if I was going to kill a lion, that's the wise way. But no, this guy is just walking along. He looks down in the pit and see, for one thing, there's probably ice and snow on the way down into the pit, and you're going to fall and slide right into his mouth. My point is attitude. That was my message today. Whatever we call this, I could call it a lot of things. God gave us dominion. I could call it a lion, a pit, and a snowy day. I could call it doo-doo. I don't know what this sermon's called. But I will say this. Attitude. It's time to quit talking about it and do it. What if I make an accident? What if I make a fool of myself? So what? We serve a merciful God. He's always into correcting mistakes. But he can't do anything when anybody won't do anything. Come on, amen. Just stand up and do something. A lion went down that pit and killed him. I'd wait till a clear day, but he went on a snowy day. And this last one is awesome. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. Hey, dude. I mean, he just took his own spear and killed him. Attitude. You don't go break through the Philistine host to get a drink of water for your captain if you're a wuss. You don't climb into a pit and kill a lion. These are the dudes that ran around with David. I'm closing my Bible. That don't mean much, but I did close it. What are we going to do? Where do we go from here? We've lived long enough in the information age. I've often thought American church, I see it all the time, is so spoiled to information. Especially the last 15, 20 years. There's been Christian television for a long time, but you can learn things. I mean, that, you know, there's everybody seems to be an expert, you know. But what are we doing with our knowledge? Let's not just be hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. Christine, come to the piano. I'm going to pray for us today. Father, thank you for authority. Thank you that we're seated with you, Jesus, in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that there is an attitude of the mighties of David that we need to capture in our own lives. And Father, I ask you just to, in this week coming up, maybe there'll be situations arise on a Monday or a Thursday or a Saturday. And what am I going to do? And God, Holy Ghost, remind us of these mighty men of David. They were proactive. They weren't waiting to respond to the devil. They went after him. Thank you for authority. Let's all stand today. Everybody stand. Been some wonderful prayer here today. And thank you that you're a praying church. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Old song, but it's a beautiful song. Let's sing that whole chorus. Everybody, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Is every heart and mind clear today? Who all loves Jesus? Put your hand up high if you love the Lord. I know you're here because of that, aren't you? Amen. Did you get anything out of this today? You've been blessed? Amen. Hallelujah. God's good. Appreciate your prayer for us, Pastor Boland. And listening to the Holy Ghost. Yes, there is some stirrings going on. A lot of cool things actually in the making, and was a word of confirmation to us today. I'm glad that you're a church that allows the prophets to speak, so thank you. Amen. Come and close, Pastor, as you see fit. I didn't give a commercial, but we have stuff out there. And listen, that's our gas money. You give us an offering, but that's our gas money and our grocery money for the week. You lost time. So if you buy a CD, it sure is a blessing. And we got some little deals out there. So God bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Brother Mark, would you have somebody stand back and we'll take an offering. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, for it truly is spirit and life. And Father, even what Brother Blaine said about being a doer of the word, I shared a message 2 weeks ago about being a doer of God's prophetic word. And that is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Father, let us go forth and know that we can do mighty exploits in the name of Jesus as we listen to your Spirit speak to our hearts. And that's the one thing that this church is based upon, seeing the body of Christ grow up into the head, even into Jesus Christ. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless Blaine and Christine as they go forth. Let that anointing increase and increase, that it would break the yokes in people's lives. And thank you for your words today. We so appreciate it. We so appreciate the music. And we just ask you to bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. So we'll have someone.